Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome back. It is Friday. You made it. It's Friday, October 22nd, 2021, and I am delighted to be with you, coming to you at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time in Spotswood, Virginia. It's Friday. That means before you know it, it's going to be Saturday, and then it's going to be the Lord's Day. Do you have plans for Sunday yet? I hope that you do. If you're a local to our area, then I would just love to have you come and worship with us at Old Providence. We have a service at 9 a.m. and then at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. Both services are the same. No difference in worship style. It brewed out of COVID and also out of necessity due to growth, and that's a wonderful problem to have. But nevertheless, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. is when our services are at Old Providence. But maybe you are not anywhere near Spotswood, Virginia. Maybe you're not even in the state or the Commonwealth of Virginia. Maybe you're somewhere else. I hope that you have planned to be a part of worship somewhere. Now, obviously, I know that with COVID increasing and that sort of thing, there are some people that don't need to be out in public. And if you and your doctor have made that decision, not trying to guilt anybody or appeal to anybody's conscience to do something that is not wise. But if that's not you and you're just not going, in other words, if you don't have any problem going to Walmart and Applebee's and football games and concerts and all that kind of stuff, you know, that's the thing that kills me, right? At least be honest about it. Just say you don't want to go to church. However, if you just don't want to go to church, then you really need to examine your relationship with the Lord, right? Now, I'm not going to say anything more about that, but it's important, y'all. So make sure that you are planning for this coming Lord's Day. You don't have to go to church at Old Providence, but you need to be in church somewhere. If you are one of those people that cannot go out in public and cannot worship, we will be here, Lord willing, technology, but we will be here at 9 a.m. for our first service, and we would love if you would stream with us. We'd love to have you as a part of that. Again, it's great to be back with y'all this morning. I hope that your week has gone well, and I hope that you have wonderful things planned for the weekend. I think the high is going to be, get out of here, boo. Boo is scratching at my chair. I think the high here today and tomorrow is going to be in the low 60s. The leaves have started changing, not a cloud in the sky. So I don't know. We might go up to Blue Ridge or something, and or Bluegrass, excuse me, and see what we can see leaf-wise. But again, it's great to be with y'all this morning. Where we pick up today is in Psalm 18. And Psalm 18 is interesting because up until this point, we have been with David, really. David has been the one that has authored the Psalms up to this point. And we've seen all sorts of Psalms about the cry for deliverance. In fact, yesterday we were in Psalm 17, where David talked about his righteous plea, about how he was being persecuted. And we talked about yesterday the difference between being persecuted and facing consequences for poor decisions on your part and dealing with the consequences of your sin. That's not what David is going through. David is being persecuted for the sake of being God's anointed one, right? And so David pleads his case before God, calls out to God for help, and he knows that God will answer him. Well, where we come to today in Psalm 18 is the first of the Psalms where David recognizes deliverance from the Lord. So up until this point, we have David on the run from Saul. Most likely, there's been a couple of interludes in here in these first Psalms. For instance, when David faced trouble as a result of insurrection later on in his kingship, most of them have to do with what he faced while he was on the run from Saul. And y'all remember that paradigm, right? Saul was the first king of Israel. The Lord took the kingdom from him and chose David to be the next king. Of course, this didn't make Saul very happy. And so Saul had resolved to destroy David. And David was hemmed in on every side. And we're going to talk about that today, because David recognizes that without the Lord, he had no hope whatsoever. But everything we've been reading about thus far talks about David facing that, or almost everything, right? Psalm 18 is the first psalm after Saul has been dealt with and after David has received victory over his enemy. And it's so valuable for that reason, because we learn so many things from David So many things. So I'm excited to be in Psalm 18 with you today. Let's pray, and then we're going to dig in. Our Father, we thank you for this time that you've given to us, and we pray that you would give us wisdom as we come to your word. Wisdom to understand it, yes, but wisdom also to see how it applies to us. As we gaze upon David and his response to the victory that you gave him, to the salvation that you gave him, Father, would you work in our hearts so that our response to the victories in our life would be really the same, recognizing you and calling on you and testifying to you? So please work in our hearts now, Father. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as I've just said, Psalm 18 is the first of the Psalms of deliverance, if you want to just call it that. It's the first Psalm where David finally is talking about the fact that he's had victory over Saul. But it's also a first psalm in another aspect. It's one of the first psalms that talks about the importance of testimony. Now, you might say, well, where does it say that? It doesn't say it. But in the paradigm that's laid out, in the principle that is revealed here, we see something really important about not only the grace of God and just how much we need God, but also we see something so important about our proper response to God's work in our lives. Now, without further ado, let's pick up here. Psalm 18:1, such a simple beginning. I love you, O Jehovah, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to Jehovah, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. Now, Psalm 18 is a long psalm. I should have mentioned that at the start. We are not going to finish with Psalm 18. It's 50 verses, right? We're going to break it up into different sections. However, this is really the setting that is offered for all 50 verses. It comes in these first three verses, right? Where David begins with the simple statement that I love the Lord. When's the last time you told the Lord that you love him? I mean that. You know, and the terminology used here is I affectionately love you, Lord. David here points to something so important about our relationship with the Lord, that our relationship with the Lord entails many things. It does. Trust, right? David talks about the fact that the Lord is his shield and his horn of salvation. Trust, most certainly. Obedience. My goodness, yes, obedience. David had to be obedient to God. He had to listen to God. He had to do the things that God told him. But first and foremost, and there are other components to our relationship with God, but first and foremost, our relationship with God, with the Lord, is based on love. My goodness, y'all. David recognizes that it's by God's grace alone that he was chosen to be God's anointed one. As we talked about yesterday, y'all, this is not a Disney movie going on here. And it's not an inspirational film where David is taking care of his father's sheep. And he says, one of these days, I'm going to get out of this pasture. You know, it's not like that at all. He doesn't have aspirations of kingship. David is just doing what his earthly father told him. And then Samuel shows up and he ends up being anointed as king of Israel. David is chosen to be God's man, to be God's person for God's purposes. Y'all, David is a picture of what the Lord does with us. Now, we don't go looking for God. God looks for us and saves us. And he did so out of grace, out of mercy, and out of love. And y'all, that's the same way with us. We are followers of Christ because of the love of God alone and the work of Christ alone. And why did Christ do what he did? Why was he sent in the first place? Why? For God so loved the world. And why did Jesus do what he did? He laid down his life out of love for his children, for his people, right? All those that the Father would give him, he said he would have. So David recognizes that he loves the Lord, and he calls the Lord something there in verse 1. He recognizes that the Lord is his strength. Now, let me tell you the amazing thing about this. And he continues on and he uses other metaphorical language. He talks about the Lord being his rock, his fortress, his deliverer, his refuge, shield, horn, salvation, stronghold. And those are just in the first two verses. And his conclusion in light of that is, I call to Jehovah, who is worthy of praise. And then he says, I'm saved by my enemies. Y'all, something so important is taught to us here by David's example, that this is your devotional thought for today. You see, David here is in the spot of victory. The challenges that he faced, Saul is gone at this point. The pathway is clear for David to assume his role as king of Israel. I think it might be lost on us just how tempted David would have been to forget all about God at this point. After all, life is cleared up. He's not on the run anymore. He's not afraid of death anymore. He knows that he has been saved. But recognize what David does here. He continues on in verse 4. He says, the cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him, into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountain shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. And we're going to stop right there because he's going to talk about what the Lord does in response to this. But in the midst of his victory, David goes on to recognize something. And what he recognizes is, without God, he has no hope. All of this language, and you know, it's interesting, the language that he uses here about being brought down to the earth, the cords of the grave coiled around me. There's another place in God's word where we see very similar language, and it's actually in Jonah chapter 2, when Jonah talks about not the cords of the earth, but about seaweed entangling him, and about being taken down to the bowels of the earth, right? And the whole purpose of that is that David and Jonah are both doing the same thing. They're both saying, hey, we were dead men. We had no chance. We were gone. And our salvation came from the Lord because the Lord heard our cry. That's it. That's what this is all about. So in victory, David recognizes that what he faced, he had no hope of dealing with. Not a chance of prevailing. But that the Lord alone brought him victory. And the reason that this is such a big deal, y'all, is that in life, we face grand temptation. When we are brought low, we face temptation to scorn God for our situation, to be angry at God and turn our backs on God, to conclude that nothing is good in this world, that nothing good can come of what we're facing. We are confronted or we are tempted to forget about God when things get tough. But in the same exact way, y'all, we are tempted to forget about God when everything is going well. Oh my goodness, how tempted we are to look back on victories in life and conclude, hey, sure I'm glad I was so smart at this point in this situation, or I sure I'm glad that this popped into my mind, or I sure I'm glad that I was able to say that and then dig myself out of that hole. We have a tendency to focus on ourselves. We are selfish by nature. It is the first product of our sinfulness. That's why Satan tempted Adam and Eve by telling them that if you break God's law, you'll be just like him, right? But David doesn't do that here. David remembers the Lord. So my question for you, in light of what you're facing, will you remember the Lord? And I mean that no matter what you're facing. If you're going through difficult times right now, times of great difficulty, or if you're in a time of ease and comfort, are you taking the time to remember the Lord? And if you don't know, then look to David's example here, because he teaches it. Boo, hush. Who the cat is scratching as if I'm going to let him outside. I don't know what's wrong with that cat. Anyway, nevertheless, the temptation that we face is to forget the Lord. And what we see from David here is, if you're wondering about whether or not you really thank the Lord, there is an aspect revealed here from King David that we need to see. And that is that real thankfulness, real gratitude for the Lord. Throw my flip-flop at him, that might help. Real gratitude from the Lord, or for the Lord, it results in testimony, you see. That being grateful to the Lord is not about just having a pleased feeling in your heart. Delighting in the Lord is not about just feeling good on the inside, and it's not about your own personal prayers. No, you see, with thanksgiving in the Psalms, and this is one of the first places we see this, with thanksgiving in the Psalms always comes testimony, testifying to God's greatness. Are you doing that? If you're not taking the time to testify to God's greatness, now I don't mean taking out a billboard or anything, but are you talking to people about what the Lord has done for you? Are you sharing with folks how the Lord has blessed you? Are you praising him? You know, part of this comes down to, are you a regular part of a Bible-believing church? And when it comes time to sing hymns of praise, are you singing? Certainly, do you recognize the Lord in your prayers? All of this comes down to the same exact thing. Thanksgiving results in testimony. Psalm 107, I wrote the newsletter article about this yesterday, but Psalm 107 talks about the mercy of God, and it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Give thanks to the Lord. Let us say so. There's public testimony attached to this. And we see it from David, and the calling is for you and I to engage in this as well. Will you? Have you been? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you faced, but I do know this. I do know that the Lord is with you and that there is cause for you to sing his praises. There's cause for you to share your testimony with others. And again, this doesn't have to be some complicated evangelistic preacher type thing. It's simply you telling other people that you love the Lord and why you love the Lord. It's you telling other people what the Lord has done in your life. Doesn't have to be complicated, doesn't have to be flashy, and you don't have to have all the answers. It's testimony. Remember what testimony is. It's a judicial term, right? A testimony is something that someone offers in a court of law where they simply say what they saw. Right? They simply testify to what they have seen. Okay? That's what the Lord calls us to do. And he calls us to do it with grateful hearts because of what he's done in our lives. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time that you've given to us this morning. And we ask that you would work in our hearts and help us to see our calling to testify. You have done so much for us. Things we don't even know about. Your faithfulness is new and your mercies are new every single morning. The fact that we're here right now, the fact that we are drawing breath, it all points to you. And if someone's watching this probably means they have electricity and that, and so much of the world does it. And probably they're even in a nice house as they view this. And you know, we could go down the list and go on and on and on about the ways that you bless us. Father, let us not fall to that temptation to forget you. And also, let us remember that thanksgiving requires testimony. And in so doing, may many come to know you. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you all for being a part of this time this morning. Lord willing, we'll be back Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and then Monday morning at 7 a.m. And Boo, who has now decided to start eating his food, might be more quiet on Monday. But anyway, thank you for being a part of this time. I hope that you all have a wonderful weekend and that you are planning for the Lord's Day on Sunday. See, we've got Kyle. Good morning, brother. And then Kyle knows firsthand about Boo the cat. He loves Kyle, and I think Kyle loves him. But anyway, Denise is here. Good morning. And there's Linda. Good morning. And Rose and Sybil and Becky. And good morning. Oh, no. Lots of interruptions. Sorry about that. And there's Rebecca. Good morning. That's a beautiful lake you're at. And then Helen and Wayne and Evelyn and Kyle. Boo is not testifying. Boo is doing something else. Anyway. I hope that y'all have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend and an even better Lord's Day. See you soon.